Welcome to CoCurious, which is a community of learning professionals who are reimagining learning and financial sustainability. My name is David McLean, and I founded Learning Advisory to help academic and corporate education providers better balance learning excellence and their sustained financial performance. Our mission is simple: ensure that every cent spent on learning maximizes both the educational experience and an organization's bottom line. CoCurious provides an insight into this challenge and how we at Learning Advisory provide the support to address it. In 2017, I received an email from a friend saying, "I think this will ring your bell." I opened it and I was struck by the name of the organization, and the whole look and feel of it was very elegant. It had an effortlessness about it. And the organization is called Heavy Chef, and I've paid very close attention to Heavy Chef ever since. And today I am joined by Fred Rode, who is the CEO of Heavy Chef, the organization that focuses on entrepreneurial education. And their community is an entrepreneurial one where entrepreneurs learn with entrepreneurs. Fred, welcome. Your true north I see as being the nexus of learning, business, and creativity. Within that, what is the greatest challenge in striking the balance between learning excellence and sustained financial performance of Heavy Chef?
It's a great question to kick off things, Dave. Well, first of all, thanks for the amazing support over the years. It's been great to get to know you and to get a sense of your passion and zeal for this topic and this category within business, which is essentially the education category. And creating a business out of education is challenging. If you speak to investors who are looking for new startups or new ventures to contribute to, I would say confidently be very reticent about investing in ed tech companies or education-focused companies, because there is a graveyard that is, as long as the eye could see, filled with the cadavers of edtech companies and education companies. It's very difficult. I mean, an example would be the amount of people that have asked, how can we serve, say, school kids and come up with a great idea? And, you know, it's easy because there's a network of schools. We'll go to the headmasters and we'll offer them our amazing tool, and that's it. We suddenly have like all of these clients on tap. And as anybody who's ever dealt with schools or education facilities or any kind of education community, it's not that easy. And, you know, to your question, education and learning is a difficult, it's an easy category to get into. It's a difficult industry to sustain, or a category to sustain, in terms of starting a business and serving a particular clientele. The challenge that we've faced in finding that balance that you're inquiring about is that, particularly with Heavy Chef, I mean, as the name suggests, it comes from the saying, never trust a skinny chef. We're basically an education company. Instead of the word courses, we use the word recipes. And instead of tutors, we use the word chef. And it's about recipes for success. And it's focused on tech, leadership, and creativity. And we try and speak to the world's most heavyweight practitioners on tech, leadership, and creativity. You know, it sounds simple. At the same time, it's really difficult for us to figure out what is the one thing. What is the fulcrum, you know, to use the Archimedes term, that we focus our attention on? I was speaking to a dear friend yesterday, and, you know, I was lamenting the challenge that at Heavy Chef, because of the fact that we're trying to inspire entrepreneurs to start businesses and then empower them to succeed, you know, what gives us meaning. We want to empower people to succeed in business. Again, sounds simple, right? And I mean, we believe at our core that entrepreneurs can change the world for the better, you know, and they can do it faster and more efficiently than any other category in society. It is really hard to figure out What is the thing that will make the difference to an entrepreneur in providing some level of success or attaining some level of success? And when we started this business, we started it with all the best intentions, as you know, David, Louis and I and Mike. You know, we came from a digital marketing background. We ran an agency together, a digital marketing agency. And when I left to start Heavy Chef, Louis and Mike were still running the agency. My idea was simple, that, you know, let's just build a community of entrepreneurs and provide them with the content that would assist them. And that would be the difference. That would be the one thing. And my friend yesterday, he's a very successful entrepreneur. You know, he said to me, Fred, if I have a problem in my business, the last thing that I'm going to do is ask for more content. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to phone you and I'm going to ask you for your particular nuanced advice, which suits my need. And there's no platform in the world that can provide me with that content that would actually solve my problem for me. And therein lies the challenge, in that when we started this business with the simplest and noblest of ideas, it turned out to be a multi-headed hydra. You know, it's like in the Greek fairy tales, like, you know, you chop off one head and then nine more will come up. And that's the problem, is like when we look at the challenges of entrepreneurs, you chop off one head and then nine more will spring up. And currently at last count, you know, we've created over 3,000 learning videos. These are courses that we've tailor-made and curated specifically for our community based upon what they tell us they need in order to solve their problems. You know, everything from starting a business to scaling a business to selling a business and everything in between. Admin, branding, marketing, HR, team building, finding capital, raising capital. You know, all of these topics, which are salient, have like 15 subtopics. And each of those subtopics have 100 more subtopics. So those 3,000 learning videos is like a drop in the ocean. And so ultimately, for us, the fulcrum, Archimedes famously said, if you give me a fulcrum and a long enough lever, I can lift the earth. So the challenge is, where do you put that lever? Because we have now currently, we've got the 3,000 videos, we've got, you know, over 250 heavy chefs. I mean, ranging from like President Thabo Mbeki to Sia Kolisi to Zolani Mahola to DJ Spoo to Amanda Dupont, some of the most famous people in our country. And all the practitioners, the authorities on various topics and the most salient subjects that would help our community. But events running, we've got our latest book is being launched in a few weeks' time. And we have programs. Our most powerful tool are the programs that we run, which is like high touch, small cohort, high investment into those entrepreneurs, where we take them using all the content that we have in the curriculum. And it's still not enough. You know, this is the challenge. And so for us to not only serve our community and each individual community member, we also have to make money. One of the challenges we had right in the beginning of starting Heavy Chef was, you know, do we set this up as a nonprofit or do we set it up as a PTY, as a company? And then, you know, we were like, yeah, it'll be easy to raise funds for something that serves entrepreneurs. So let's make it a nonprofit. And then we realized, well, we're teaching entrepreneurs how to be better entrepreneurs by calling ourselves, you know, the Entrepreneur Organization or, you know, Heavy Chef, Never Trust a Skinny Chef. And then we're not going to create a business. So the irony just suddenly hit us in the face. We're like, holy crap, like we have to set this up as a business. We don't have a choice. Otherwise, we're skinny chefs. So not only do we have to set up a business, we also have to show that we're profitable, because what the hell are we doing if we're not? How can we teach other people to be profitable if we're not profitable, right? So, you know, that's why it's such a good question. And anyway, as it turns out, we are profitable and we are making money and we're doing some pretty good turnover. And the model that we've crafted is essentially a B2B2C model. Looking at partners, it's looking at big corporates who really require the training of entrepreneurs. So an example would be F&B and their business banking clients. They need those business banking clients to be better entrepreneurs, to be better businesses, to build better businesses in order for F&B to win, right? So it makes sense that they would apportion money towards training those entrepreneurs to be better entrepreneurs. And we do that. Another example is that, you know, we're crafting something for a really big restaurant organization. And they need all their franchisees to become better franchisees so that they can generate more turnover for the mother business. Another one is a massive platform where they need third-party vendors to be able to sell on that platform. And so these are all opportunities where big corporates, they need their primary clientele are entrepreneurs. And they then have this huge, vast audience that they would need to serve. And the better their entrepreneurs are, the more it serves them particularly. So that B2B2C, the business to business to consumer model, is where we've hit our sweet spot and where we're growing rapidly. It's a long way of answering your question, but I wanted to do it in such a way that it framed the problem that we faced in order to do that. It doesn't give you an idea of how we do it. I'm happy to talk about the how. But that's the business model and creating that balance for us as a business and also serving our own community members.
What I'm reminded of is John Foster Pedley says, make the main thing the main thing. And therein lies the greatest challenge. Ironically, making the main thing is one's main challenge. Possibilities and opportunities, especially when you're building something and you're swimming through the marmalade of working out what that actually is. What one thing can you provide as an insight or a prompt to focus on to get a better balance between learning excellence and sustained financial performance?
So I can share with you how we have solved the problem and speaking to the Archimedes challenge of what is the fulcrum. And our lever, I mean, our lever is long. Like, we have some great content. We have probably more entrepreneurial content in our curriculum than any other entrepreneur organization in South Africa and possibly even Southern Africa. And we just need to figure out where to focus it. And so the fulcrum for us has been revealed after a 5-year research project, which I'm sure Louis mentioned in his interview, and that we interviewed, you know, over 10,000 entrepreneurs, and, you know, we asked them the question, how do you learn? How do you educate yourselves? How do you teach yourselves how to be more successful? How do you tackle problems? What is the process that you take when you want to research the solution to a problem and all of these things? And, you know, we came up with a bunch of insights, which, you know, anyone who's interested can read on our website. It's heavyshift.com/foundation. And there's, you know, a whole bunch of reports there. And I think the one that I can point people to is the one that we found on entrepreneur community. So what we've understood and what we've realized and the big insight for us in terms of where to focus our attention is that, to my friend's point, the last thing I'll need is more content. And the first thing that he would do is phone me or phone a friend. The key for the solution to inspiring and empowering entrepreneurs, which, as I mentioned earlier, is our cause, our purpose, is to foster meaningful connections between entrepreneurs. So the strongest predictor of entrepreneur success is the frequency and quality of engagement between fellow entrepreneurs. We've adapted this into a term that we call horizontal and vertical learning. So the idea is that with Heavy Chef, because of the nature of our chefs, there are authorities on these various topics, that would be the vertical learning. We have quite a large community of entrepreneurs, over 50,000 now. They would then engage with our content, but that would be in the case of the recipes, in the events that we run every month, in the programs that we host, you know, in the small group meetings, and all the various aspects that we have. We allow our community, and we encourage and facilitate interaction between the entrepreneurs and the chefs, so to speak, you know. So those are the people who are small business owners, and they want to find insights and get encouragement and learning wisdom from the successful entrepreneurs, technologists, leaders, and creatives that we have on our platform. We create magical moments through those engagements and interactions. It's inspiring. It's not sustainable, though. And that's the key problem, is that the sustainable component is the horizontal learning. And that is when, in a rhythmic fashion, entrepreneurs engage with other entrepreneurs. They build up relationships with them, and they can then grow together. The problem that we have become obsessed with The problem that exacerbates the statistics that most people know about entrepreneurs, that they fail. The rate of failure amongst small business owners is just, it's insane. And so why would anyone want to take those kinds of risks? But the way to mitigate it is to look at the biggest challenge that we found, in that entrepreneurs primarily work in isolation. So their first port of call as a matter of priority is to try and figure out the problem themselves, you know, and they'll work until 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to work in isolation and try and solve whatever problem they're facing, because that's the nature of most entrepreneurs. We cannot do this alone. And so what we try and encourage is rather do it in community, do the problem solving in community, in connection with your fellow entrepreneurs. And it's not even looking for the answers. It's in the dialectic itself, in being able to communicate and articulate the problem that one is facing. Problems are one thing. The solutions in that dialectic tend to reveal themselves. And so whether it's through some reference or through the process of just communicating, one tends to problem solve in that process of engagement and interaction. So what we try and do is teach people how to think critically about those problems, how to articulate those problems, and how to work in community around those problems that we face. It's one of the things that we've become super aware of, is that this journey of entrepreneurship is not for everybody. And the reason being is because it is so likely to fail. UWC released a paper recently where they said 75% of small businesses in South Africa will fail within 3 years, right? And so it is a dangerous game. But then again, I mean, as the German poet/philosopher Goethe said, the dangers of life are infinite, and among them is safety. It's the fabric within which we are trying to weave our learning solutions.
It's not easy to not be influenced by these statistics. Without a crystal ball, the truth is that none of us know what even this afternoon holds, let alone tomorrow or 5 or 10 years' time. But if we have a purpose and we're on purpose, that is a good start and a good continuum.
Further to that, Dave, to provide a clearer answer to your question earlier, is like what that one thing is. I don't know if you've heard of Richard Rumalt, the author who wrote Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. It's a fantastic book. Every entrepreneur and everybody who wants to serve a clientele needs to read. We tend to fall into the trap of bad strategy. And Richard Rumalt defines bad strategy as fluff, which is all the esoteric and gibberish arguments and whatnot. The failure to really define what your challenge is, and just mistaking goals for strategy, and then providing poorly chosen strategic objectives that fail to address the critical issues or that are unobtainable. And so that's bad strategy. The good strategy is, once again, it's like trying to figure out what that fulcrum is. And the only way to do that is to really diagnose the problem. Rumalt talks about the first thing we need to do in terms of good strategy, diagnose the problem. It's 3 steps. So first, diagnose the problem. The second is create a guiding policy, how you're going to attain it and really zero in on that problem, providing the solution to that problem. And then the third thing is set clear goals. That's kind of what we have done at Heavy Chef. We fell in love with the problem. It took us a long time to really realize exactly what that problem is and cut out all the fluff, and really our failure to define what the challenge is, because the challenges are numerous with entrepreneurs. But what is the one problem that we want to solve? And in our case, it's working in isolation. We know that if we can solve that, then we are immeasurably closer to assisting entrepreneurs to succeed. It's really important to understand what your strategy is. And the first step really is diagnosing what the problem is that you're trying to solve. And it needs to be super clear.
Spot on. Because many strategies that I've seen are wish lists.
Rumalt talks a lot about when he asks for people to show them their strategy, they'll show them a set of goals. It's the most common mistake, is mistaking goals for strategy. And he calls them statements of desire, which is not a strategy.
Can you quickly define strategy and define goals so that we can be better at discerning the difference?
Strategy can be defined in many ways, but the way I like to define it is a way of being competitive. That's essentially stolen from my friend Andrew Smith, who started Yappy Chef, and he's now on his second big startup, which is Bravehearty. You know, it's this idea of strategy for the sake of strategy is a bit pointless. And ultimately, it's around being competitive. So how would you compete in a world where there's literally thousands of resources that somebody who is starting a business could tap into immediately just by holding up their phone and doing a cursory Google search? So how do we compete in all of that? And strategy is the process of being competitive. In terms of what a good strategy would be then to define what is the one thing that you want to do better than anybody else. In terms of being competitive, you want to be either number one or number two in your category. And if you cannot be number one or number two in your category, create a new category. If you're number three or five or 10 or 11, I mean, it's not a competitive business. It's a lifestyle business. You're not doing it in terms of trying to grow. And in order to really serve your community, you want to have a growth mindset because that means you're continually iterating and getting better at what you're providing. Peter Thiel, one of the founders of PayPal and now Palantir, it's a bit controversial, but he says the companies that he would invest in and the ones that he wants to get involved in are the ones that can be a monopoly. He wants to create something that can absolutely smush the competition. And so that might not sit well with most people, but if you really want to create something that serves your community, then you have to be competitive. And in order to be competitive, you need to have a good strategy. And again, good strategy is about diagnosing the problem, creating a guiding policy of how you want to solve that problem, and then setting clear goals. And then your second question was, how do you define goals? It's a really important question because, again, competitive strategic goals are not statements of desire. An example of that would be, we want to serve 1 billion African children by 2029. It's a wish. A goal is something that would address critical issues, and it would be reasonable or smart, to use the acronym. And it would be something that would be super specific. That's, for me, a good goal, and it addresses a critical issue. At Heavy Chef, we have stated the goals that we have, and each one is looking at how we can innovate in terms of being able to provide that goal. One goal, for example, that we set out right in the beginning was to be able to create a content machine that did it faster and cheaper than anyone else in our category. And we've managed to achieve that. We create more content at a much lower price than anybody else. And so we've managed to do that through some specific innovations that we worked really hard on. And that's one example. And we have a ton of others that we've lined up all the way up until 2032. So it's very time-based.
Our mission at Learning Advisory is to help academic and corporate learning providers balance learning excellence and sustain financial performance. So if this conversation resonated with you, check out the other episodes on CoCurious. Visit us online at learningadvisory.com and let's keep learning, let's keep sharing, and let's keep holding each other to account for the advancement of ourselves and practicing what we teach.